From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Hendry County Commissioners recently approved a development proposal from U.S. Sugar Corporation to build 18,000 homes as well as commercial development on sugar land southwest of Lake Okeechobee. Supporters of the proposal say the development could help diversify the region's economy and provide a boon to a county with one of the state's highest unemployment rates. Opponents of the plan say the land in question, which the state still has an option to purchase, is vital for Everglades restoration. We'll take a closer look at the development proposal and its potential impacts for Hendry County and neighboring regions. Plus, police departments from the cities of Sarasota and Fort Myers recently joined the growing number of law enforcement agencies looking to equip officers with body cameras. While the cameras are seen as a tool to improve accountability, they also raise privacy concerns. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Law enforcement agencies are increasingly showing interest in equipping their officers with body cameras. The Fort Myers and City of Sarasota Police Departments recently announced they'd begin equipping officers with the devices. The cameras are meant as a tool to improve accountability for both law enforcement officers and the public, but concerns about privacy and the authenticity of the videos remains. We'll take a closer look later this hour. But first, Hendry County Commissioners have unanimously approved a development project, including 18,000 new homes and 25 million square feet of commercial development space known as the Sugar Hill Sector Plan. The development is being proposed by U.S. Sugar Corporation and the Pioneer Ranch family Hilliard Brothers. It would take place on 67 square miles of sugar land southwest of Lake Okeechobee. Proponents of the project point out that Hendry County routinely has one of the state's highest unemployment rates and that U.S. sugar and agriculture in general have historically been the economic backbone of the region. They say the project would be a much-needed economic boon to the region and would help diversify the economy. Meanwhile, opponents of the Sugar Hill Sector Plan say the land in question is vital for the future of Everglades restoration. The state still has an option to purchase that land for that purpose, but zoning changes to the traditionally agricultural land could increase its market value, creating a heavier burden on Florida taxpayers if the state ends up purchasing the land later. Environmental advocates say using the land in an effort to restore natural water flow through the Everglades would help address the practice of releasing nutrient-laden water from Lake Okeechobee down the Caloosahatchee and St. Lucie estuaries, where it contributes to harmful algal blooms and other environmental problems that hurt local fishing and tourism industries. Earlier this month, a consortium of environmental organizations led by the Sierra Club sent a letter to Governor Rick Scott urging him to help stop the proposal. Joining me now is the Natural Resource Policy Director for the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. She's a marine biologist and limnologist with more than 30 years' experience working in the environmental field in South Florida. Rayanne Wessel, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We also invited the State Department of Economic Opportunity, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, the South Florida Water Management District, and the Southwest Florida Regional Planning Council to join this show. They all either declined our invitation or didn't respond to our request to join the conversation. But I invite listeners to join us. Our phone number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Rayanne Wessel, before we get into the nuts and bolts of this U.S. sugar land development proposal, let's first take a look back at the current state of the greater South Florida region's water woes and how we've altered our natural hydrology to the detriment of the environment.
Well,
I know that's a big question.
Flood control and the desire to grow the population of South Florida really instigated a lot of drainage of historic wetlands and connections of canals, rivers, lakes, the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean, which was never a connection that nature had made, was initiated back in the 1800s. The unintended consequences are the problems that we face today, and we're trying to solve the problem without being able to go back to the original plans. So we have millions of people living in half of the historic Everglades on the East Coast, and we have connected systems that people depend on to keep their land dry and their homes not flooded. So this is a challenge to restore natural systems like the Everglades and other wetland areas with only half the footprint that historically existed.
And the Hendry County Commission, as I mentioned, voted unanimously in August to approve the Sugar Hill Sector Plan. What happens next? What other local or state agencies still need to approve the plan for it to go forward? And what kind of a timeline are we looking at?
So this process has changed in the past years since the Department of Community Affairs has been dismantled. That really was the agency that looked at all the different communities, county boundaries, and see how things fit together. Today we have the Department of Economic Opportunity that is serving in a limited capacity, carrying out some of those same functions. So in this case, the sector plan has been transmitted to the Department of Economic Opportunity in Tallahassee. It was received, I think, on September 3rd. We have 30 days for public comment. The department then provides review for about 120 days. And if it's approved, it would come back to the county, and all the review, all the details are filled out and determined at the county level without additional state input. So right now, the Department of Environmental Protection, the South Florida Water Management District, the community planning agencies, all those comments have to be submitted as well as any public comments by October 3rd.
And I imagine that you'll intend to submit public comments to that.
Working on it.
Are you concerned about the timeline there? Is there really enough time as far as that 120 days to investigate what the impacts of this would be?
I'm concerned that there are some significant statewide resources or state resources of statewide and regional concern that may not be highlighted for the Department of Environmental Economic Opportunity in the review because it's such a short timeline. So we've been encouraging the agencies to make their comments known and to provide that local knowledge that really we have a number of issues, water being a significant one, that need to be accommodated along with things like the U.S. sugar contract.
And are there other residential or commercial developments that are at some phase of being in the works in Hendry County right now in addition to the Sugar Hill Sector Plan that are significant in size?
Right. So this is the third of three sector plans that has been proposed for Hendry County. Two are already approved for western and southern Hendry County. And this latest one focuses more to the eastern side of the county around Clewiston.
And Hendry County's current population of 37,000 residents, I believe, is expected to grow to something close to 80,000 by the year 2060. Based on that population estimate, are other residential developments and the other residential developments in the works, do you think the Sugar Hill development plan is really needed?
Well, so to answer that question, we have to look at what Hendry County is trying to achieve. And I think it's important to understand that we support the diversification of the economy in Hendry. They have tremendous resources and great opportunities to have a more vibrant and diverse economy, which makes that community healthier. The sector plan that we're talking about today, the Sugar Hill Sector Plan, is focused around the airport, the Everglades Airport, and some of the potential expansion of inland port distribution center functions that could come uniquely to that area as opposed to the other parts of the county that other two plans cover. But those two plans that have already been approved do include about 44,000 residential units and over 9 million square feet of industrial commercial land use. That is certainly sufficient for the 46-year build-out population estimates that are anticipated, but they're really serving perhaps slightly different needs.
And going back to the airport there, the connection there, that would largely be for cargo, not for passengers, correct?
Correct. The idea is that UPS, FedEx might bring cargo shipments that are currently going through Miami International Airport that don't bring as much funding to that airport. They can make more money on passenger travel to this airport in Hendry County. That then could and what this sector plan envisions is a distribution center, a facility, industrial facility there to enable that cargo then to be shipped.
Okay.
Throughout the state.
And the South Florida Water Management District has an option to purchase all of U.S. Sugar's land by 2020 and 47,000 acres by October of next year. Does that land, with the next year's deadline to purchase, include the site of the Sugar Hill Sector Plan?
Yes, parts of it do. And just to step back so your listeners might remember, in 2010, we closed on two parcels that were about 27,000 acres of the 180,000 acres. And that left two options remaining. There was one option that was retired last year, last October, that was a price certain option to pick up this land. Now we have, by October 2050, a market rate proposal for 46,800 acres. 13,250 of those acres are overlapped by the sector plan. The important thing to understand, however, is that to exercise this option for the 46,800 acres, we have to buy all of it. We can't buy just the pieces that were in the historic plan. So that's part of the contract between the state and U.S. Sugar. So we have the opportunity to take these parcels that would be purchased and maybe trade them, as we have done on another parcel recently, to build that flowway and build that connection, build that treatment that we need for moving water south out of Lake Okeechobee and getting it down to the state lands and ultimately to Everglades National Park.
And the option for the state to buy this land, I understand, goes back to really an ambitious plan under the Crist administration to buy all the U.S. sugar land there. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So that was – the original proposal was to purchase the whole corporation. Then September 2008 came along and the economic crash, and we had to reevaluate. And we went through four reevaluations to finally get to the point where in September 2010 we were able to purchase the 26,800 or so acres that were the first piece. One of those pieces – so it basically ended up being two parcels. And what's important is that one of those parcels was in a location that we weren't – it wasn't as useful to us. So we were able to trade that for a parcel that's going to allow us to expand the stormwater treatment areas that can really help those systems function better. The same applies to this plan, where the sector plan – there might be lands that are overlapping with the U.S. sugar purchase. They're not necessarily where we would put the projects, but the acquisition of those lands is critical to being able to trade for lands that help us build the flowway, the treatment areas, and the connectors.
And this would all help with the water discharges from Lake Okeechobee. I think probably the summer of 2013 is the most recent cogent example of how that can negatively impact our communities here in Southwest Florida and then over on the other coast in the St. Lucie estuary. Tell us about what the impact of that nutrient-laden water, what does it do for us here on the coast?
Well, you're right. 2013 was unfortunately a banner year for the example of what too much water does to our sensitive river and estuary. The plume of fresh water extended over 20 miles off the Sanibel Lighthouse last summer, and of course darkened the water along the beaches. What that does is it effectively washes out the estuary nursery that exists in the lower Caloosahatchee. So things like fisheries, shrimp, blue crabs, a number of our recreational commercial fisheries, as well as oyster and scallop spat, all gets pushed out to sea to the Gulf of Mexico where it can't generate. So we lose a whole year class of fish, shellfish, and habitats. We had dramatic impacts over the past 7 years because of water shortages, water being cut off to the Caloosahatchee, that has killed the majority of the tape grass, the freshwater grass in the upper estuary, and because salinity's got too high. But we had also had impacts from the high water to the seagrass in the lower part of the estuary. So it's a combination of too much water, being too dark, and impacting the habitats as well as the fisheries and resources.
We're exploring a U.S. sugar proposed development plan on sugar land in Hendry County that environmental advocates say is vital for Everglades restoration. We're speaking with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation's Rayanne Wessel. You can join the conversation with your comments and questions. Phone lines are open at 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Join our live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And as a recent Palm Beach Post editorial from a business owner and Hendry County Commissioner Carson Turner points out, U.S. sugar and agriculture in general directly and indirectly employ a great number of people in that region, Hendry County. U.S. sugar is responsible for about a quarter of all the ad valorem taxes collected by the county, and not having them could then severely impact county leaders' ability to fund public services. Additionally, U.S. sugar is a community benefactor to the Hendry County region. Do you think convincing Hendry residents that the Sugar Hill Sector Plan isn't a good idea could be a tough sell?
Unfortunately, the process that we're in doesn't necessarily give a lot of opportunity for the local community to comment or buy in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one of the outcomes that I find most regrettable, is that the very people who live in these regions might feel a little bulldozed by the big plans that are being put forward and not having some of the opportunities to comment. I've talked to a couple of residents that have expressed some concerns. And I think ultimately community planning is the most effective planning. We're the ones paying the taxes, owning our lands. It's our quality of life. It's our air quality. It's our water quality. It's our very health. So having input is really fundamental. So I think that there is a great opportunity for this plan to be looked at in a much more comprehensive way. And there are some state resources of regional concern that really have to be addressed, water being one of them, and how we manage the U.S. sugar purchase option relative to this plan really needs a lot more discussion. There is, at this point, the threat that adding these new land uses will raise the value of those lands that are under option. And because it's a market rate option, this could make the River of Grass planning for Everglades restoration unaffordable for the state. And we don't need to do that. These are 50-year plans. There's no rush. We don't have to make that decision today. What if we just step back and take some time, add some community involvement to really do planning that's not going to harm resources that are needed and necessary and are going to engage opportunities for economic development?
Do you have concerns about the process for how development plans like this are approved? You had mentioned earlier there was a state agency that would have had a hand in something like this in the past that has since been dissolved. Is it just far too easy for development proposals to go through without being properly vetted in Florida?
Well, I think that by losing the Department of Community Affairs, the ability to look at things that cross county lines has really been lost in large part. This is where then it becomes incumbent on the agencies to make sure that they're taking a look. And that's not really their authority. Now, it is in the case of the Water Management District, South Florida Water Management District and Water. But for other things, making sure that things match up and that you have some consistency and continuity between counties is a lot harder without the Department of Community Affairs.
And when we spoke the other day, you had mentioned the Sugar Hill Sector Plan is in a region known as the Lake Okeechobee Service Area, and then that's a concern, as you had just alluded to before, about adding all these other needs for water with this future development. Tell us what that means, the Lake Okeechobee Service Area.
So the Lake Okeechobee Service Area is a geographic area that is designated as a basin for water supply purposes. That is an area of allocation restriction, which means it's a water caution area. We don't have enough water to meet the present demands. And as we look forward to the 20-year horizon to accommodate growth, changes in agriculture, changes in industry, commercial, industrial, we're going to need X amount of water. That's what this plan that's evaluated every 5 years by the South Florida Water Management District says. It already identifies that we don't have sufficient water supplies, but what it does not accommodate is water for natural systems. It just lists human uses. So we know that the Caloosahatchee has so many years that we haven't been flooded. We've been challenged by not enough water because the water gets redirected. So we know that if you add in natural system water demand, things for estuaries, water flushing through the river to the estuary, out to the Gulf of Mexico, water for Lake Okeechobee, water for tributaries, and for wetlands, you have a very different picture of what water supply is available in that 20-year horizon with changes in population, in agriculture, and uses. Some people would say, well, we'll just pull it out of the ground. Well, when you pull it out of the ground, it's coming from somewhere, and that's pulling water from wetlands and other areas out of those areas. So if we pull water out of the ground, we're changing the base flow of water to the Caloosahatchee. So water that seeps slowly into the river system historically has been lost in great part because of the water demands we take out of the ground. So this is something that Department of Economic Opportunity will not know without the Water Management District and DEP highlighting this. And this truly needs a lot more evaluation. We have looked at this. And the plan does not designate where the water will come from. It doesn't designate what impacts that water supply would have on existing uses. And because this is a basin that's capped, it's capped for water use, who's going to gain and who's going to lose? And if you add in natural systems, which should have been part of the design in the first place, we're definitely looking at a deficit in water supply. The flip side of that is for sector planning like this, the FEMA flood maps and the soils in these areas are not well drained. So currently, if we have flood or too much water, water might sit in agricultural areas and ditches. But if that now is sitting on industrial or commercial improved areas, there's a much different picture. There's somebody's going to want to move that water out of those industries. So where is the flood control in a very flat landscape that's already wet? Where's that going to be achieved? Those are really state critical issues that have to be addressed.
We're taking a closer look at potential impacts of the Sugar Hill Sector Plan. It's a large-scale development proposal in Hendry County on land that the state has an option to buy for Everglades restoration. Environmental experts say it's a key piece for successful Everglades restoration. We're speaking with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation's Natural Resource Director, Rayanne Wessel. I invite listeners to join our conversation. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on our live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And would going forward with this plan undermine state resources that have already been allocated? You had mentioned the other day the legislature has actually funded some research that is related to this as far as Everglades restoration in the future.
Well, in addition to the water issues we were just discussing, the legislature this past session allocated money for funding a University of Florida study on Everglades restoration. That report of evaluating options and ideas and efficiencies is due in March of 2015. So with this sector plan, if this were approved as designed, we could be taking some of these options off the table. And when we're looking at a 50-year plan and we're looking at a six-month or so report, what's the rush? Let's not take options off the table before we have a chance to fully review them. And this is unique because of the investment state taxpayers have made in the whole U.S. sugar purchase review, the planning that's gone on. We spent 2 years designing plans and looking at options for how we would use this land. That's staff time. That's public time. That's lots of resources that went into that. Then we've got the contract that sits there waiting for action. And because it's a market rate contract, we could be exposing ourselves to a much higher cost, and that hasn't been evaluated in context with the rest of the options. So that, with this UF study, I think really caution us to take a look at what we would be doing in undermining our existing investments.
And again, there wouldn't necessarily have to be any actual development on the sector or the Sugar Hill sector plan in order for the price to go up that taxpayers would pay if the state still buys it, correct?
So the action of approving a sector plan would increase the intensity and the use of those properties. That, like any real estate transaction, if you have a permit to build something, that land is more valuable than it was before you had the permit to build it because you've invested something. So in that same regard, the action of approving a sector plan as is would potentially – or that's a concern – it would potentially raise the price.
And Rayanne, your signature was among those representing the nearly 50 environmental organizations urging the governor to work to halt the Sugar Hill sector plan last week. Have you gotten any response from the Scott administration on that?
I have heard of nothing. Mm.
And I think it would be easy if someone just skimming the headlines on this to get the impression that it's an issue of, you know, environmental advocates and Everglades restoration versus economic growth and economic diversification in Hendry County. But you're saying that's not the case. That's not the way it needs to be.
Really, on the fundamental the fundamentals here are that we have a county that is looking for economic diversity and vitality, and we support that, and that's speaking as the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. We have been partnered with the county before on economic enhancements, especially where ecotourism is involved, and so we really don't pit. We don't want to be perceived as preventing something that is reasonable, sustainable, and healthy from being done if it can be done without endangering these state regional resources. And I would just say that we would have the same concerns if this were happening in Lee County, in an area where we had state regional issues, water, flood control, and perhaps a state contract that could be endangered. So it really doesn't mean that we're pitting this against Hendry County because it's Hendry County. It's looking for the best options that can come from this. And I think that there are ways that this could be revised, modified, or really evaluated. But we have to have the time and we have to make sure that those state critical resources are considered.
Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the program. Thank you again, Rayanne.
Thank you.
Rayanne Wessel is the Natural Resource Policy Director for the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation, with more than 3 decades' experience working on environmental issues here in South Florida. We also invited the State Department of Economic Opportunity, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, the South Florida Water Management District, and the Southwest Florida Regional Planning Council to join the show, but they all either declined our invitation or did not respond to requests to join today. We're taking a short break, but when we return, body cameras for police officers. As law enforcement agencies are showing an increased interest in using the cameras as a tool to enhance accountability, we'll explore how the devices work and privacy concerns that using the cameras raises. We'll also hear from one Florida police department that's been using them since 2013. That conversation's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.